Whatever the adventure, there's a BMW engineered to take it on. The X3 delivers a striking design with agile performance. The 100% electric i4, packed with pure electric energy. Or the plug-in hybrid X5, an impressive, versatile SUV granting full control on every journey. Choose what powers your next adventure during the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine. Hurry in for exceptional offers through January 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
When I pull up to the parking lot, it's time to level up. Dial in, showing out for your team. Listen up, get you some. I stand the fan to give you what you need. Fan fuel, game time. Turn up the intensity. Team colors bleeding now. 5 hour energy. For a limited time, get the fan fuel flavor at 5hourenergy.com.
When it comes to hiring, don't search for a great talent. Match with them. Thanks to Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find qualified candidates fast. And Indeed doesn't just help you hire faster. 93% of employers agree Indeed delivers the highest quality matches compared to other job sites, according to a recent Indeed survey. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility. Go to Indeed.com/listen and tell them you heard about them from this podcast. Terms and conditions apply.
Sexiest show in Houston right there, baby.
Sports Radio 610 presents The Drive with Sterner and Hughley. Dive into the mind of former NFL quarterback Clint Sterner.
I like a good time. I like to have a party.
I know you do.
It's Dirty's Daily.
Yeah, it is. Let's have us a little tape drop Tuesday party, y'all. I'm going to run down a list here of what all I saw. I started making my notes for the segment here, and I realized there's some pretty solid takeaways from this film. And some of them are one hitters. Some of them we just need to probably move on from. Don't have a full time for a full-blown conversation. But there's a lot of good that there's no way the TV copy showed. There's no way that the fans saw all of this on that TV copy, especially if you only watched it one time through, Ron. And I think we got to start on the defensive. We got to start on the defensive side of the football. And when you start on the defensive side of the football, because they had such a dominant, suffocating performance of a good offense, with everybody healthy, with the exception of Waddle going out, which, by the way, I hope he's okay. I know he's a Houston kid. I hope he's okay. But the defense was better than the TV copy gave, you know, better than we thought after watching the TV copy or being at the stadium watching it live. It is an unbelievable film. And I want to start with Will Anderson's strip sack. Ron, it was a great move. No doubt about it. Great play.
96.
By Will Anderson. There ain't no doubt about it. That play was made, for the record, that play was made by Denico Autry. Denico Autry took the guard and literally looked like he was choking him, pushing him back, but I think his hand was in his chest. And he drives the guard back into the lap of the quarterback. He gave Tua nowhere. You know, we always talk about the ability. It's so much easier for a quarterback when your guard center guard is firm. It's so much easier for your quarterback to avoid good defensive end rushes. That's why people are paying so much money for and giving so much attention to the dominant interior forces, is because that's become the bigger problem for offenses. You can hide from defensive ends. You can't hide from pressure guard, center guard, coming from that middle right there. And Denico Autry, without a doubt, made that play. Will Anderson doesn't sniff a sack, much less a strip sack, if Denico Autry doesn't push that guard back into Tua's lap. And I'm talking about in impressive fashion.
That is couple of things on that. One, I apologize to Denico Autry, because on the television call, Kevin Harlan called him Tim Settle. Man, the play made Tim Settle drove him all the way back.
Right.
And I said, damn, he didn't even get credit for that.
What?
Sorry, Kevin. But second, that right there has always been the, hey, Texans get teams in obvious passing situations. The flexibility and the ability of guys that they can put out there in terms of where they can rush the passer. I mean, they got three guys that can rush really from anywhere. He can put them over the guard, over tackles, anywhere on the, across the line. And that was just a pure example. Autry in the middle, a great pass rusher with a double-digit pass rusher. He's got now 10.5 with Will Anderson coming off the edge. And then the other side is Hunter. And I mean, it's what they can do in obvious passing downs to teams. They've got the best defensive end room in football.
Yeah,
I think, and it's crazy what they can do.
You know, Rob, one thing that I again saw last night in Monday Night Football, I think it held up. I tried to check it. I heard the commentator say that Minnesota was going. They had a package where they were going with five edge rushers as their down linemen and getting after the quarterback. Right.
Yeah.
I wonder if that's something we see from D'Amico at some point. Because I don't know if you got five you want to roll out there, but you damn sure got four you can put out there.
You got four out there, yeah. When you bring in Barnett, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, obviously.
Hughes was active, I guess you could.
Yeah, yeah. Well, I think the thing is, I think in out there, obviously, they're edge rushers in Miami. I mean, in Minnesota, you've got two outside linebackers. I think they're running a 3-4, so you got more of two outside linebacker type guys. And so they're lining them all up and bringing them and causing problems for the quarterback. But nonetheless, with D'Amico Autry being so special inside, and we talked about Hughes and Barnett and all those guys, they are really, really strong. And a couple of those guys are bigger guys. So you could probably get away with it if they're ever all active together. But we'll see.
Especially an obvious pass rush.
Now. Yeah. D'Amico Autry was he's the one that made that play possible, no doubt about it. All right, on the Bullock interception, Kalen Bullock, on the drive before the interception, they actually ran this coverage. They ran his coverage multiple times. He had a pass breakup on the middle, over the middle of the field where he almost picked it. He dove and almost picked it, got two hands on it and dropped it. Then he got the interception. And then it was the same type of coverage when the kid got hurt, DeBose kid or got injured. It was the same type of coverage. But this on the TV copy, you couldn't really tell exactly what it was. Seth Payne and I were trying to break it down in the post game show during a break. We were trying to break it down, and I said, look, this is either some kind of hybrid three where the safety is just paying attention to the underneath routes, and they're just willing to gamble and that he's not going to throw it over their head, or this is a hybrid Tampa 2 coverage. If you remember, Lovey ran a lot of it here, so for some of my football heads out there, you'll understand it. The corners play tight typically in a normal cover two. The safeties are wide and deep, and then the middle linebacker runs down the middle of the field deep with any kind of threat, any kind of seam route. He'll run deep down the middle of the field because that's the weakness, right? That's the way that Tampa 2 is typically played. Well, what D'Amico Ryans did was he took and he gave you a three look with both corners real deep and a middle safety deep, and then at the snap of the ball, the corners went and covered the deep halves, and Kalen Bullock would drop down into the middle of the field and take the position where that linebacker typically would run with the seams. And he caused problems. Again, obviously, he almost got a pick on one drive. The very next drive, Tua tried it again for some reason, and he got a super clean pick that he almost took to the house. And then Tua tried it again later in the game, and he sent a kid to the hospital accidentally, not a TKO, but just the collision. So clearly that coverage had Tua and Mike McDaniel, for that matter, like really confused on what they were getting, because they're throwing right into the teeth of the defense with Kalen Bullock dropping down in
and
there.
And the Texans, all of them, especially on the back end, and you heard you yourself talk to Derek Stingley about it, they clearly knew their tendencies.
Oh, yeah.
And what they were doing, and in certain routes and coverages, what they were going to run, and they were at times running the routes for them.
Yeah.
Like, you could see Bullock clearly knew what was coming. Like, his steps, his first steps were held before the ball was being let go. So Yeah, they took those 2 weeks and really, really understood their tendencies, confused them, and knew what they were
doing. Yeah, it was impressive. They rolled coverages. They showed pressure and then bailed to a quarter halves at one point. They showed that hybrid two Tampa coverage. They showed some true two coverage. And even in those coverages where the safeties or the corners were deep, they were still just anticipating routes in a big, big way. It was as if they knew Tua wasn't going to try to throw the ball. We're like, Kelly, let's be honest, he's not going to hold it that long, and he can't throw it 70 yards like Anthony Richardson. They knew the limitations of the quarterback. They knew the tendencies of the offense, and they played them absolutely perfect and threw in some of the disguises that they had were absolutely tremendous. And, Ron, this next one, this one just dawned on me, by the way. This is going to piss some people off. Kamari Lassiter, either in the slot or on the backside of, let's say, like a trips formation where you got a tight end, maybe to the strong side where you got where he's like he's down there in the box and can play with his physicality and can display consistently the tackling ability that he has. We know he can cover. Ron, Kamari Lassiter in the slot is like really impressive. And I say that.
Well, it allows him to just be aggressive, right?
That's the key. Is like I think when I say it, you know, the immediate response is a lot of folks going to be, oh, you don't think he can play outside? No, he can clearly play outside corner. I mean, clearly he can play outside corner. I just don't know that Kamari Lassiter's future is not inside, of course, because of the cover skills that he does have, but just how comfortable he is in traffic. How comfortable he is playing physical, whether it's linemen trying to block him on screens and he's sneaking out the screen and you know, shoelace tackling the tight end. I'm just telling you, he is really, really comfortable and really, really good inside. I like to the point where I think D'Amico watches it. Now, he's played so well at outside corner that it would be a ballsy move. But I think D'Amico watches it, and I don't know how a coach doesn't watch that and go, boy, I'd like to see this cat at a full-time inside corner. I mean, I'm talking that it's that impressive.
Especially with the injury they have to Petrie, it'd be something sicker with if Jeff Okuda or somebody could play on.
Well, they were able to – Jeff Okuda played quite a bit. And Jeff Okuda went outside, and Kamari was able to come inside and do some different things. And I'm just telling you, there's no way that this coaching staff doesn't watch his film and go, damn. Like, that's not just an outside corner, be where you're supposed to be, tackle well, okay, we can trust him, he's accountable. That is a difference maker. I mean, that's a guy that you got two linemen pulling, he somehow finds a way to squeeze between them and then make a great tackle on Jonnu Smith. Like, that's game-changing, like, drive-ending types of plays that he can consistently make from the inside. And it jumped off the screen this week a couple of different times with Kamari Lassiter. Don't know what's going to happen with Kamari Lassiter, but it's hard to ignore what he's able to do when he's in traffic. Now, also, real quick note, the only touchdown that the Dolphins scored was a Jonnu Smith touchdown. And I know a lot of people remember that was on Derek Stingley, and that's damn near unfair. It was by design. You know, Tua works strong side away from Jonnu Smith. Jonnu Smith takes his time and runs a back line, literally runs to the back of the end zone, hauls ass across the back of the end zone like he's going to run a deep crosser, and then he retraces to that back pylon. It's by design. The quarterback came to him late. That is an unbelievably, ridiculously difficult cover for Derek Stingley Jr. Even for a guy as talented as him, it's really unfair, if we're being completely honest. So, for those that want to pinpoint or point out that Stingley did get got one time in this game, I don't believe that I would hold that one against Stingley.
I think he did all right.
I think he did all right. I do. I think he did all right. All right, let's jump over to the offensive side of the ball. Ron, there's one guy on this offense. I'll say this. I think we were right talking about the offensive line. I do think this is the best offensive line that they can field, unless Blake Fisher the wheels come off when you get a better defensive end over there. This is significantly better. Like, the space that C.J. Stroud had to work was one he should play at an extremely high level with, no doubt about it. Okay, but there's one guy out there that really has made his way to the Texans because of injury, but this guy's got a real chance. Irv Smith.
tight end Irv Smith.
Yes, the tight end Irv Smith. There's a level of dog in this dude. There's a level of fight in this dude. There's a level of experience with this guy that nobody else in that tight end room has. I think Cade Stover has the dog, but he ain't got the experience. Cade Stover doesn't have the understanding and the long in the tooth and the reps to understand how to pass protect and when you get beat, retrace and just stay on him and give CJ somewhere to go. I don't know that Cade Stover has yet. He's got it in him. I don't know if he's shown it yet. The dog in the run blocking is impressive, Ron. Whether he's coming from the backside of a run and he's torpedoing the backside defensive end. I mean, he is going at knees now. I mean, he is cutting legs. He is getting it. He has no problem getting on the ground and getting dirty and getting physical. I think there's no way that the Texans, there's no way D'Amico Ryans watches this film and goes, give me more Dalton Schultz and we'll just use Irv Smith whenever we can. Irv's got to be on the field. Now, I think Dalton Schultz is a big part of this offense, obviously, so he needs to be there. That's their two tight end package. I don't know how you deal with Cade Stover moving forward, but I'm telling you right now, now I'll say this, in their defense, I don't know anything about Irv Smith mentally and how he plays the game and how he retains and what he's able to do from a mental perspective. I have no idea.
From a physical perspective.
Irv Smith is exactly what this team needs in a run game. Now, there's a couple times where he gets on a true defensive end, a big boy, big body defensive end. Now, he gets his ass ate up, but he is fighting like a dog. There ain't no throw your arms down, quit, and look at the sideline.
Well, missed Ron, it.
Ron, there's a play out here, and I'm gonna post this play because I want some former players out there and some coaches out there to give me a little bit of input here. But there's a play where it's pass protecting. And Irv Smith and Dalton Schultz end up on the same side of the field, Ron. And they're both blocking edge rushers. All right? They both miss their edge rusher. Like, end up losing him. All right? Dalton Schultz loses his guy and doesn't lose him on purpose, by the way. This is one of those, I lost my guy in pass protection, so let me make myself available to catch a pass if CJ looks at me. And he's literally 5 or 6, maybe even deeper, 8 yards behind the line of scrimmage. Kind of like, it doesn't look like it's by design, right? It looks like, hey, let me act like I'm going to block this guy, and then, throw me the ball if you want. Irv goes out there, hits his guy. His guy bounces off and beats him a little bit. Irv spins and chases him. And just gets a shoulder on him, just running next to him. CJ slides up in the pocket. And because Irv kept fighting, right, CJ used him in the protection, and CJ ended up running and getting 3 or 4 yards. But it's literally like in the same on the same side, same play, you see one guy, and by the way, guess who ended up tackling him or hitting CJ? The guy that Dalton missed. But you see one guy that refuses to give up and gives CJ a real chance, gives him a little bit of space to go make a play. And then you see another guy that was literally behind and over on the sideline trying to make himself available. I do wonder if that's by design or if that is like a one player fighting the other player just making himself available. I'm interested to see what that looks like. But I'm going to tell you, man, Irv Smith is...
Well, it looks like Cade Stover might miss some more time.
Yeah.
With that surprise appendix removal that he had. So we'll see. And without Tegan Quatoriano, looks like Irv Smith's the next physical guy they have. And
Irv's better than all them dudes. When you talk about
from a run blocking perspective,
yeah, and a pass blocking perspective, I've seen Irv when he was at Alabama. Unless he's just completely lost it, I would think that he could help you in the pass game as well to some degree. I mean, it's not like any of these tight ends you have are blazers or making guys miss in a phone booth. I mean, we can talk about Dalton Schultz being cerebral and being a leader and knowing defenses and being savvy. That's cool. But, like, Irv definitely brings something to the table in the pass game as well. I just really like a small sample size. I don't want to overdo it, but, man, I really like what Irv Smith is bringing to the table. It wouldn't surprise me at all if he didn't end up showing up more, like, literally on the TV copy during a game and helping this team in a big way.
All right. Well, they may need him this weekend. And speaking of may need him, this may shed some light on that. The injury report is out for both the Texans and the Chiefs. We'll let you know what designations they have. Remember, this is a short week, so they're playing on Saturday. We'll let you know about that. And some baseball news may have a little something to do with your Houston Astros. That's coming up next right here live on The Drive.
Sports Radio 610 presents The Drive with Sterner and Hubley.
All right, the injury report is out for the Texans and the Chiefs. Remember, this is generally a day off, but since this game has moved up, this game is on Saturday, both teams were on the practice field and had injury reports. Now, it looked like the Texans did more of a walkthrough type of a practice today, and that that the Chiefs did a little bit more work than just walk through, did some padded stuff there. But here is for the Texans, Clint. Foley Fatakasi, who just got back last week, then injured himself. He did not return in the game. He did not practice today with an ankle. John Mechie, who started to come on a bit, did not practice with a shoulder. Davis Mills with an illness, did not practice. Delshon Phillips with a foot, didn't practice. We know about Drew Scruggs. And then Cade Stover, also with the appendix, he did not practice as well. Joe Mixon, not injury-related, more rest, was limited in practice today. And then Kenyon Green was a full go with the shoulder. That is the practice designations today for the Texans. For the Chiefs, the only two that didn't go, Shamari Connor and DJ Humphrey. Shamari Connor with a concussion. Starting safety, DJ Humphreys, who they brought in to be the left tackle. He didn't play last week with a hamstring. He didn't practice today. Full participants include Hollywood Brown, Creed Humphrey, Harrison Butker, Jawan Taylor, and Patrick Mahomes. They have him as a full participant in practice, even more leaning towards the thought that he may be able to go this weekend. But Foley Falikowski, him and John Mechie are the two that really jump out there, potentially unable to go. We'll see what John Mechie, you said it, who's going to step up, maybe the third receiver since Diggs has gone down, and it looks like it's been Mechie. And then Foley, just, you know, their big run stopper in the next two games, you know, with Pacheco and Hunt, you know, if Andy Reid wants to run the football, and then obviously Derrick Henry, you want your best run stopper there in the middle of the field. So those are the two that really jump.
Yeah, the one for me is a positive, actually, Joe Mixon.
Yeah, getting rest.
It being rest and limited, it would be very easy, and in fact, it was highly likely that Joe Mixon, if he were on here, it would be ankle issue, given that what he did last week. Again, it looked like another hip drop tackle may have gotten him. I hadn't seen if anybody got fined or not.
I don't know if anybody got fined, but that's the way Gene Steratore described it on the tape.
Yeah. So the fact that Joe Mixon is on this list, and it's rest and limited, and it's not ankle and limited, is a big plus for all Texans fans here. So I think that jumps off as much as anything, Ron.
Yep. So that is the injury list, and tomorrow will be important. That's kind of the second day of the back to back. We'll keep you updated and see what that is tomorrow. Remember, it is a Texans Ticket Tuesday, your chance in the 5 o'clock hour to win two front row tickets for Ravens Texans on Christmas Day.
Tuesday.
That's right. Also, this breaking, Yankees have reportedly acquired outfielder first baseman Cody Bellinger from the Cubs. Multiple reports, including MLB Network Insider and Odyssey Insider John Heyman, reports this. So
I got a message for those Yankee turds.
As someone texted in, even a newer reason to hate that turd Cody Bellinger just dropped.
Hey.
He rolls in. And I think in terms of the Astros, one, yes, as much as you can't stand Cody Bellinger, they are better today than they were yesterday. I don't think Cody Bellinger is going to feel, I don't think so. He's won an MVP before, but I don't think he's going to feel what Soto did, but they add another bat there. But I think the big thing, Clint, is does this take the Yankees, the biggest spender potentially, out of the mix for Alex Bregman, right? Like, is he going to leave?
Man, I'm starting to really wonder. I thought there was zero chance, but I don't know now.
You thought there was zero chance? Okay, this...
I thought there was zero chance he would stay. I'm sorry.
Oh, he would stay.
Yeah.
No, this is... This is... I think this is good. Now, I don't think it completely takes the Yankees out of the mix. I mean, hell, they were going to spend $730 million on Juan Soto, so...
They were never in the mix.
For who? Oh, Bregman? Okay. Yeah, I'm just saying this... This man, I don't know if this does, but I would think, all right, maybe they feel like they found the bat that they needed, and it's not Bregman. Red Sox still very much involved. Tigers are a name you hear involved as well. Mets, as they're just saying, to hell with it. They're involved. So I don't know. Like, your gut feeling right now as we sit here, I know Friday you thought you still felt like you lean towards him coming back.
Yeah, this back and forth hasn't really moved me much. I mean, I don't know what means what, to be honest with you, so I don't get too caught up in it.
Bistros ain't loyal.
I still think there's two guys in this clubhouse that I think Jim Crane would be willing to maybe budge a little bit on. That's Altuve and Bregman. And I still think that's possible. I don't follow exactly what Bregman is going to get or should get, or what people like Bregman are getting. I don't know what all that looks like, but I think the Astros will have an inside track simply because I believe that Crane is a big Bregman fan.
We'll see. I wonder when that comes to a head.
Houston, can we give?
Yeah. Let D'Amico jump in there and help with the
damn button was labeled wrong.
Yeah, I know it. What were you trying to go after? Let's hear it.
Breaky bombs.
Jeez, you can find it. Come on.
That's what it was supposed to be.
Hit it again. What was it? Hit it again.
I think it's Houston. Can we get loud? Wait for it.
Houston, can we get some loud noise?
Damn, who did that?
Not I.
Something I know who did it.
Well, have you fixed it yet?
I will.
I think I know who did it. I
who? Lean
towards it.
Tyler?
Nah.
Who you think did it?
Put Byron.
It you done started it now. Think, put it out there.
I think Byron was
around when Brady
I was going to go Byron, but I think I'll lean towards Jace. I think it was Jace who did it. That damn Jace. Damn it, Jace. Get in here. I know you're listening, Jace. Get in here and redo it. All right?
That Breggy Bomb been on
there. Get in here, Breggy Bomb. The people need it.
Yeah, man. I
don't feel great about it.
I feel like he really might be staying now. I mean, more so than I have at all in the last few weeks.
Yeah. Got to see where they're going to spend this money at.
It seems too quiet. It seems too reserved. It seems...
I'll say this. I think to the point that you made about Crane, I do think that Alex Bregman will give every single chance and opportunity for the Astros to pull into a place that he can be comfortable with. Like I think he wants to be here and finish here and play the next however many years here, but I don't think he's going to do it for a $45 million difference. But I do think he will give them every opportunity to...
I mean, quality of life's got to be through the roof. I mean, he's already established, given the success he's had. I mean, but then, you played ball at LSU. You're from New Mexico.
Yeah.
I mean, everything is just so easy. Hop, skip, and a jump for the family. Where's your wife from?
I don't know.
She's got to be from the boot or from Houston. One of the two.
I don't know where Heather's from.
He didn't bring her from LSU, did he?
I don't know anything about Heather. I don't even know if her name's Heather.
She's got to be an H-Town gal. The quality of life is just through the roof, man. Again, like you said, it's not worth $45 million.
Bregman, I don't know what city, but she came from old Louisiana.
There you go. He did. Maybe he did. Maybe he did find her over in Baton Rouge.
Yeah, he found her there. She found him.
Good for him. Good. Them fertile hunting grounds.
Coming up.
Reagan's a sexy name.
713-572-4610. Those of you on YouTube and Twitch, do you find Reagan as a sexy name? Yes or no? Reagan as a sexy name.
Let me warn y'all before you. That is Boss Lady's daughter's name, for the record. Before either of you two step off in it, I'm just letting y'all know.
Who gives a damn?
I needed to know that before.
There's more.
I didn't know what you were going to say next.
The hell with it. There's more Reagans around here. All right. I mean.
Damn. I feel so awkward now.
Somebody named Jenna Jameson, but I'm not saying that one. Mm. They're all whores. I guess she's not either.
She likes red.
She just likes.
I think we ought to go to break.
She just likes. speaking of that, C.J. Stroud, his presser. We'll hear from him as he speaks to the media coming up next.
Live from the Twin Peaks Studios, Sports Radio 610 presents The Drive with Sterner and Hughley.
Reagan is the name of the girl from The Exorcist. Yes, Reagan, a lot of testosterone in there, boys.
What?
She's a Katie girl, Seven Lakes. Reagan is sexy, but I know a crazy Reagan that ruined the rest of...
Craigan.
Reagan. Not a sexy name. Okay. I could name my non-born son Reagan. Yeah, I mean, if you're thinking Ronald, yeah. I don't know that I've run into a many male Reagans.
I have.
No. I knew you had one.
Not sure I had.
I got one.
I don't have a male Reagan. Yeah.
I've got one male and one female is all I can remember. Not counting Boss Lady's daughter, just a reminder there, guys.
Oh,
God.
She's one of the Reagans I know. Reagan Gomez, oh. Mm. Parent Trap. Sorry, Parenthood.
I hope this is some kind of actress or something, the way you're writing Robert Townsend.
Oh, man.
This isn't somebody from your past that Courtney may know.
No. I don't have that mistake. But no, she was strong, boy. Back in the day on that. Ooh. Yes, I remember her, boy. Back in the day. Did pull her. All right. As we move past the Reagans, let's hear from the quarterback. C.J. Stroud, who spoke with the media today, as he gets a one-on-one matchup with Patrick Mahomes in a game I'm sure he's looking forward to. Here's C.J. Stroud.
Those games where, you know, it is a regular season game, but still they're the defending champs, and it's a bit of a measuring stick game.
I think every game is that, you know, to learn where you match up against guys, you know, and I thought. You know, on film, they have a lot of great players. They play well together. They've been playing together for a long time and just add, you know, new pieces that fit their system well. So, you know, I think they do a great job and, you know, excited to match up against them.
CJ, on the, when you and Will came in together and, you know, you all are really close. Do you see that same thing from Kalen and Kamari?
Yeah, I do. Yeah, those dudes are like twins, man. Like, they literally wear the same clothes. Like, they come wearing the same shoes to games. Like, it's funny. They're definitely two guys with just a lot of confidence. And, like, they had more confidence, I think, than Will had. At least I know they had more confidence than I did last year. And it shows on the field, you know. So I'm just super happy for them, you know, super proud of them, just how they approach the game and how they, you know, been able to take off running, you know. And I'm just really excited to see what they do in their career and hopefully be a part of it for a long time.
Wayne, when you were going up against them in training camp, is that something that you see, that you've seen then, that the way that they're playing now, you've seen that building up?
Yeah, you know, I definitely felt it then, and even in college, like playing against Kamari, and then seeing Kalen, you know, growing up in high school in the 7-on-7, tournaments and stuff, and then you see him at USC, you know, I believe, you know, ball players are ball players. They just, you know, figure it out once they get here, and that's what they were able to do. And since camp, they've been playing really well.
I remember over the offseason, you had, like, ranked your top five QBs, and Pat was at the top of the list. Quarterback to quarterback, what separates him from maybe just other guys in general? What makes him so great?
Just, you know, his ability to win. You know, he's just a winner. And at the end of the day, like, finds a way to get it done and makes, when those critical situations happen, you know, he's somebody who really, really, really knows how to get it done. And, you know, it's really cool just to see how creative he gets. And, you know, I think Andy Reid does a great job using him the right way and putting him in positions to be creative. And, you know, and their defense, you know, holds up a lot as well to give them opportunities to take shots down the field and have all these crazy
plays and motions. And, you know, so, I mean, they play really good complimentary football, and I think that's what sets them apart is the ability to win when it counts.
How do you feel like a team is preparing for the second and third part of the 3 games in 11 days? How do you feel like the team's approach practices, things of that nature, logistically getting ready for a kind of grueling stretch of the season?
I can only, you know, speak for ourselves, but, you know, we're still trying to, you know, get our bodies back right. And, you know, it's quick turnaround, you know, getting your mental back is just as important. So, you know, you probably do less active things and more walkthroughs and more mental, you know, than physical. So I feel like that's the way you can save your body, but at the same time, get those good practices in and those good habits throughout the week so you can play on. On Saturday, yeah.
Tamiko was talking about number 95, Chris Jones, and being aware of him during and after the snap. What are some things about him that kind of jump out?
His ability to get off the ball, you know, and him, you know, they use their silent cadence really well, you know, able to hide it, you know, and he does a good job of using his hands, and I'm, you know, a big fan of his. He does a great job and has been doing it for a high level, you know, for a long time, and, you know, just pops out on film and, you know, makes a lot of plays for them. Even when he doesn't make the play, you know, he's taking on double teams, giving other guys one-on-ones and things like that. So, yeah, he does a really good job.
Long season, man. Is there anything that this part of the season that kind of refuels you? Anything special that you may have even learned since you've been in the league that helps you kind of stay your turn about, you know, keeping mentally sharp for this part of the season?
I would say, like, you know, just having the opportunity to know, like, postseason is available, and like this is going to set us up for, you know, our seeding and, you know, who we play, if we play home or not multiple times, you know. So, you know, our destiny is really in front of us, and, you know, we're able to do what we want to do, you know, to be really great. But at the end of the day, you know, it's all about getting in, and we're able to do that. And, you know, but that's just the start. That's one of our goals. Now we're trying to go get more. And, you know, I think, you know, this team is special enough to do that. So, you know, we got to just be hard on ourselves. You know, too strained mentally, too strained physically to push over that hump. Because, you know, I think, you know, we're still a young team, you know, still building around each other. You know, a lot of guys haven't played with each other for a long time. And, you know, you look at the Chiefs and the Ravens and, you know, a couple guys on the Steelers and, you know, these good teams have been good for a long time. You know, they keep guys around and you just add on pieces, or, you know, they've, you know, been able just to build that chemistry, you know, coaching and players wise. And I think that kind of shows in December and January. So I think we'll be able to build on what we did last year, having a second year in, you know, and be able to build that chemistry some more.
They talk about the challenge for the offense to gain a really loud stadium. How ready do you think you are for that?
Yeah, we're preparing for it. You know, definitely I've heard a lot of great things. You know, it's an exciting place to play in and loud. So got to be ready, you know, for all that and, you know, doing our preparations for that throughout the week.
We haven't gotten to talk to you since you did cliff the division. Have you had any time to kind of go back and reflect on the success that you've had over your first 2 years and being able to win the division? Your rookie year, and now in your second year as well?
Not really. You know, it's cool. You know, it's a blessing. I was talking to LT about it earlier. I think this is his first time doing that, you know, and I don't want it to ever, like, become like a, oh, yeah, you know, just we want it. Like, no, it's important and it's huge, you know, to win the division and, you know, win it this early, you know, and to, you know, put ourselves in positions to make the postseason is definitely dope. So I haven't had time to really reflect, you know, just having one day off. But, yeah, I'm very, very happy and blessed and, you know, just very grateful for the opportunity to play for this organization and, you know, hopefully put another banner up and, you know, try to do even more than that. You know, we just don't want T-shirts and hats. You know, we want to, you know, get some hardware, you know. So that's always the goal, you know, and now we got to, you know, go out there and do it.
It's a team that has had that type of success that set that foundation early to build on. Is that the same thing that you see with the Houston Texans, especially the success that you've had the first 2 years here?
Yeah, you know, that's the goal, you know, for sure, like build a dynasty type of thing. And, you know, to see Mahomes and Andy Reid do that, you know, be the face of their franchise. And, you know, I definitely, you know, that's a inspiration there, you know, and I think they do a great job of doing it humbly and, you know, every week showing up and not taking the game for granted, playing it the right way. And, you know, it's, you know, something that I look up to, but also, you know, want that for, you know, this team and, you know, this organization. So, you know, working for that and, you know, I think they've set a good blueprint for it and, you know, but that's for them. And, you know, we got to do what we have to do for the Texans and our team. And I think that, you know, hopefully we'll be able to do that.
Big game. played in a lot of big games throughout your career, you know, dating back to Ohio State. How much did playing at Ohio State kind of prepare you for a lot of these pressure moments? And how different is playing at Ohio State quarterback-wise compared to playing anywhere else in college at that position?
Yeah, I mean, playing in big games is, I would say, kind of has become second nature. You know, just every game is the same kind of mentality, is, you know, big or small. You treat everything the same as what I learned at Ohio State. And, you know, those bright lights is when you have to focus more, you know. And that's what I really focus on, is just, you know, whenever everything is amped up to the outside, what are you doing inside to really hone in and lock in on every single play. But, yeah, I mean, that playing there isn't easy, you know, and it's a lot of pressure, you know, and having, you know, a really big fan base and the best fan base in the land, as we say. But it's not easy, you know what I'm saying? It's all honestly preparing me for this position, and I'm super grateful for Coach Day and, you know, Coach Wilson and Coach Dennis and Coach Fitch and Hartline, and I can go on and on and on. Just on so many people who've helped me along the way, especially at Ohio State. And, you know, I'm rooting the boys on, you know, hopefully, you know, we get this dub playing Tennessee. And I think I love the new playoff. I think it's super cool. And to be able to have some SEC teams come play the Big Ten, play in the cold, you know, and I think that's a good experience for Tennessee, you know, to play, because that's what they have to do in the league, you know. So I'm excited for that, and, you know, really, you know, hoping that the things that we went through, you know, at Ohio State the last couple of years prepares us to, you know, hopefully win a natty this year.
Last two questions, guys.
What have you seen on film of, when you're looking at the Kansas City defensive backs?
Yeah, they play well together. You know, they play this kind of coverage where, you know, they don't ever really show the quarterback. They always rotate and, you know, they always switch the coverage very late. They do a good job of it. And, you know, I think McDuffie is a top five defensive player in this league. I think he's very underrated, and he's been proving it week in and week out. I've really seen him at nickel mostly, but, you know, on film, since I've been able to watch, he's playing corner a lot too in base. So, you know, he does a good job there, and, you know, they play really well. They play as one, and that's something that pops out to me.
All right, that's C.J. Stroud, the quarterback, talking about this upcoming matchup against the Chiefs. Coming up here in a bit, your chance in the next segment, so make sure you're listening, your chance to win a pair of front row seat tickets to see the final home game, Christmas Day, Beyonce at halftime, Texans hosting the Baltimore Ravens, a team that ended your season, the biggest home game of the season. Your chance to win a pair of tickets coming up next, right here live on The Drive.